this out.
Sing for this reason.
darkest night, He lights it up. That means the darkest situations that we walk through, that He is there. And this morning, I shared with first service, I said, you know, Lord, what does revival look like? And I think in our minds, it's easy to imagine something happening globally around the world. But I felt like the Lord said that revival is something that happens individually. And then from there, it begins to consume the people around you. And so I thought about this in first service. I said, well, Lord, what does that look like for me? And you gave me a picture during worship, just a simple picture of somebody lighting a match. And you can imagine what that match or that spark can do if left untamed. We know that fires can be started. And so if I'm an individual match and I say, God, here I am, use me. And then I go to work, and then I'm able to minister to the people that I work with, or I go to the gym, and I'm able to breathe a little bit of life into people that may not know the Lord Himself, then it begins to burn in a way that we couldn't do on our own. And imagine just for a minute what that would look like for resurrection life if each of us were willing and submitted to what God wants to do in our own hearts. And so, if you're willing, I just want you to reach your hands out as if you are receiving something, but it's also like we are submitting ourselves to God. Lord, we say that revival starts in our hearts. So God, this morning we say, do a work in us. Change our hearts. Minds, spiritually, emotionally, physically. I believe that the Holy Spirit is here this morning and that He's even calling people back home. That He's drawing hearts that didn't know they needed Him until this morning. That He's moving in and out of the aisles and that He is healing physical bodies this morning. Lord, we say yes to that. Holy Spirit, we say yes to whatever it is that you want to do this morning. But God, we submit ourselves under your leadership, under your authority. And Holy Spirit, I just pray that this morning, Lord, you would change lives to where they would never be the same again. You are an oasis in a desert. You breathe life into dry bones. Lord, and you are rest for the weary. And so, Lord, we thank you that you are alive and that you are in this place in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Good morning. While you're having a seat, go ahead and turn to your neighbor and give them a lovely Sunday morning hello. So you guys came to second service, so you don't get as many bonus points as those who came to first service. But that is okay. This morning I had told them that I have an Alexa device that I got about a year or two ago, and I finally got it connected. And last night I was setting my alarm, and I'm like, Alexa, set my alarm for 6 a.m. And she's like, okay, setting alarm for 6 a.m. And it went off this morning. And I didn't want to get up, but once I got up, I was getting ready to go. So I'm saying that we have been ready to go since 6 o'clock this morning. And with that being said, we are excited to finally see you guys here at Second Service. So go ahead and give yourself a round of applause just for showing up today. And we would also like to make mention and notice a special group of people that are here with us this morning. If this is your first time visiting Resurrection Life, first of all, we want to say that we're glad that you chose to come and spend your Sunday morning with us, because you could have hit that snooze button this morning and stayed in bed just a little bit longer, but you decided not to. If you would, do us a favor, and before you leave today, you can head out the double doors to my right, your left, and go to our visitor's kiosk, and there they'll give you a small card just to fill out to get some basic information from you. They say they won't show up at your house unexpectedly, but they do pray over you for being a first-time visitor here. So let's go ahead and give a round of applause for our first-time visitors.
And with that being said, let's go ahead and direct your attention to the screens for the RLM Minute.
What's up, church family? Our young adult ministry here at Resurrection Life, the Pursuit Project, is for all 18 to 25 year olds. It's going on their annual winter retreat. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be December 13th through the 17th, and the cost is only $250. We're going to be going to Gatlinburg, Tennessee, and that includes all your food, your travel, your stay. It's so much fun. We have an awesome time hanging out, encountering Jesus, and hanging out in Gatlinburg, too. So you need to sign up today if you're 18 to 25-year-olds. And if you have any questions, please see Josh or Kaylee Kiros.
Yeah, it's going to be Wednesday at 6 o'clock. Will Young, Republicville Campus Pastor, is going to be speaking. It's going to be PRC versus Picayune versus Team Savage, who's everybody else, like me and her. And it's going to be an awesome, awesome time. It's going to put your competitive spirit to the test. We'll see you this Wednesday at 6.
Be there. We'll be square. Woo!
Just like the Journey Youth is having their Show Your Colors, so is Covenant Kids.
That's right, that's right. This Wednesday night it's happening as well. Doors open at 6 p.m., so first through sixth graders come decked out, showing your school spirit. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah! Bam!
Go Big Blue!
What? Hey, man, I'm just looking at the candy that we're donating for our outreach with the city on Saturday, October the 30th. It's at the Crosby Commons, starts at 5 p.m. And look, guys, look at this candy. It's Kit Kats. What kid would eat Kit Kats? No kid in their right mind would eat this. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to suffer. I'm going to sacrifice myself. And I'm going to take this home. Let's see what else they have. Whoa. Really? A bag of 450 pieces of candy? What kid would eat Brock's candy? Laffy Taffy, Super Bubble, and Pop. I'm sorry. I've got to confiscate this and take it home. But you make sure you come out here in the foyer and drop off candy during the week or on Sunday for the outreach on the 30th. All right. This candy, I'll just take the whole thing.
Hey guys, Rich and I are here. We're going to teach you something about tools. I have a pair of pliers, and pliers you use to, you know, grip stuff. And this is a saw, and a saw dulls over time. And that is why we're offering you some continuing education units about life groups coming up soon. So Saturday, October 23rd, 10 a.m. in the Children's Auditorium, we're going to have a session about how God values people and a practical session on co-leading in certain situations. And if you miss Saturday, guess what? That following Thursday, you can show up at 6:30 in the Children's Auditorium. Hey, Rich, one thing's right. No child care will be provided, and you can sign up either in the foyer or online. See you then.
Now, when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, pleading with him, saying, "Lord, my servant is lying home paralyzed, dreadfully tormented." Jesus said to him, "I'll come and heal him." Hey, wouldn't you love Jesus to say, "I'm coming, I'm going to heal him"? The centurion answered and said, "Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak the word and my servant will be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another one, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it." When Jesus heard this, he marveled. Isn't that cool? And said to those who follow, "Surely I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel." Skip over to verse 13. Then Jesus said to the centurion, "Go your way. As you have believed, so let it be done for you." And his servant was healed that same hour. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just come to you. And God, I just ask you to be with us. Speak to us, Lord. God, I ask you to help us. Just, God, I cannot do what you've asked me to do. It's only revelation and your power. And so, Father, I ask you just to do that right now. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we've been doing a series on unshakable. And I felt like the Lord told me to do that. We started about 5 or 6 weeks ago. And you go online and watch them all. But to go back to the things that are unshakable in a world that's being, everything is shaking. Nobody has confidence in anything. Everything that can be shaken is shaken. I mean, the world is on edge. People are on edge. People have lost their minds. One little thing sets us off. I mean, it's just a crazy time because everything we desire, everything we know is being shaken. So you've got to attach yourself to something that is not shaking if you want to do well. And that's what we've been talking about. Been going back to the basics. Been going back to, you know, the very basics of our faith and why we believe what we believe. God's love. God, you know, God paid. We were all sinners. All needed a Savior. He saved us. All those different things. Okay? This one I've been praying about for months because this particular thing, the subject I want to talk about today is something that I'm telling you, I anchor my soul to. This is what helps me not be crazy. This is what helps me when you have 11 children, not lose your sanity. This is what helps you get up in the morning. This is what makes it where the news is not going to affect my mood. Whether my team wins or loses. You know, Alabama and LSU and, you know, we go. I know people that go into a slight depression when the Saints lose. You know, it's like, I need something unshakable. And I want you to understand this is so big that there's no way I can cover it today. It'll be 2 weeks at least. And I'm going to create more. I know this. I have fought with the Lord for a while over preaching this because I was going to skip this one. I know I'm going to create more questions than I am going to answer this week. And I'm going to mess your hair up. For all you bald people, I'm going to mess something up. I don't know. But then next week, we're going to try to answer a lot of those questions. Amen? So, there must be truths in your life that are true no matter what. I don't live by the facts. I live by the truth. Truth never changes. Truth is what I need to anchor my soul to. There is a truth about authority that we must anchor our soul to. And especially in Southern America, male, by God, ain't nobody gonna tell me what to do. NRA, out of my dead hands, you know, all this stuff. We have a problem understanding authority. Now, I want you to understand authority is huge in the spirit world. We'll talk about that in a minute. But I want you to understand, this is the definition of authority. Authority is power. It's dominion, rule, jurisdiction, right, full power. That's what that word authority means. It means, look, you come in my house and turn down my air condition and eat my food, start telling my wife and children what to do, we're going to have problems. Why? Because in my house, you don't have any authority. There's no jurisdiction there. You don't have a right. You don't have the jurisdiction. Now, see, we understand it on that kind of level, but we don't understand it in the spirit world. And we have got to, there is coming a day, and I'm afraid it's going to be in my lifetime, that we're going to have to, stop trying to figure out, you think this is the last days, Brother Al? I get that question on you. You think Joe Biden's anti-Christ? Same people that asked me, what was the last president the Antichrist? You think, Jesus said, Daddy ain't told me. I'll bank the farm. If he didn't tell Jesus, he ain't going to slip it to you. So cool you just about. It's my last days. I met a sister back here. We were talking about Unity Baptist Church. And when I was that was just yesterday. That was 50 years ago. This is my last revival. Amen? So I need to understand authority. I need to understand what it is. Okay, what's going on? There is coming a day we're scared of the big bad demons. There's coming a day where we're going to have to be like Gandalf and turn around on the bridge and say, you shall not pass. And it's coming in our lifetime, and we better wake up and realize we have a right to. Okay? And so understanding authority, jurisdiction, and all this stuff, we don't get it. Because we keep giving it away to everything else. And I want to show you this today and just kind of stir you up and get you thinking about it. And then next week that we understand, we got to recognize authority. This centurion, think about this now. He obviously sang the song, you can do all things are possible. He saw Jesus do things. And he says, man, I got a favorite servant that's dying. He's paralyzed. He's in bad shape. And Jesus said, I'll come and heal him. Dude, how do you not say, come on? That just blows my mind. But he instantly went to, I'm not worthy for you to be under my roof. Can I say this? I ain't got time to develop. I'm just going to throw this bomb out. Problem with some of you have no authority because you've lost your fear of the Lord. God is holy. He's my dad. He's my dad. But God, you've lost your fear of God. This guy went, no. But then he said, think about it. Just speak the word. And then he started explaining why he said it. I'm a man under authority. We'll talk about this next week. Some of you have no authority because you're not submitted to authority. To have true authority, you got to be submitted to authority. Like Jesus Christ, he submitted himself. And that's why he has all authority now. But understand that he said, I'm a man under authority. He had people higher up than him. And then he turned around and said, I tell this one to go, he goes. I tell this one to stay, he stays. He said, I recognize authority in you. So just say the word. Jesus, wouldn't you love for Jesus to say this about you? Jesus marveled. He marveled and said, listen to this, catch it. I have not seen this kind of faith in all of Israel. He equated understanding authority to faith. Oh, now when we start talking about faith, now things start happening. See, we don't understand this. We don't understand the authority that it has been set up. We don't get it because we still pray in fear. Most people pray, oh God, please, trying to say right words to beg and all this stuff. When God says pray in authority, we don't understand that. Let me show you just two or three things out of this story that we need to learn and just see if I can mess with you for a minute or two. The spirit world, number one, spirit world works on authority, period. The unseen world is more real. See, some of you are trapped in this little finite world, the unseen world. I'm not battling against a person. We are battling against the spirits that are pulling the strings on that person. The unseen world is more real. Somebody just complained, well, if this happened, I got this job, I got this or whatever. No. The unseen world is more real than this because that's who's pulling the strings. And it totally works on authority. Please hear me. Jurisdiction, power, right, authority. The whole spirit world works and operates on authority. Are you hearing me? Angels, demons, the Holy Spirit, they all operate on where demons cannot go, where they do not have permission. This whole authority thing where God shows us, I'm telling you, we as a church have got to wake up and realize that this thing is for real, that this is the way it operates. And understand, look at, we got Old Testament, there's all kinds through the Bible. I mean, Job, what did the devil, not no demon, the devil himself, said, well, yeah, Job praises you because look at how you're blessing him. You won't let me get to him. Now, I don't particularly like the next part of that story where God said, okay, go for it. Peter, how would you like Jesus to show up and say this? No! Peter, Satan has asked, he's asked to sift you like wheat. Peter, I said yes. Oh, man. He had asked. Now, how many of you know you read the Bible? How many of you know Peter needed sifting? He was a little prideful, wasn't he? And understand, he said, but I prayed for you and you're coming around and then strengthen the brethren. Do you understand? Demons, Satan, all of them recognize spiritual authority. The only ones who have trouble is us. And ignorance, look at me. Ignorance is no excuse. Ignorance is no excuse. And can I say this for all you? And we'll talk about open doors and closed doors. Satan goes through open doors. He's got to have a door for a Christian. He's got to have a door to open and all that. We'll talk about that next week. But understand this. It always flows from the top down. Amen. Daddies. Now, look, please don't email me. Don't do it. I am not saying that men are better than women. I'm not saying that. We just got different jobs. That's all I'm saying. I am the authority in my home. If Satan is there, it might be because I allow it.
Amen.
And you go, oh, well, brother, I don't know. Satan ain't in my house. Is there peace there or turmoil? Is there joy or complaining? Is there sickness or is there health? It always flows. There's always a hierarchy. Number two, now I want you to see, under, he used a phrase, I too am a man under authority. There is a weight. There is a weight that comes with authority. All authority. See, this is what I hold my anchor to. I hold my anchor that all authority is in the hands of God. All of it. Good, bad, ugly. Well, how could God? The Bible says in Romans 13:1, it says this, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from who? Say it out loud. God owns it all. God is God. There is only one God. He is Lord of all. He is the Lord of all. I'm attaching my anchor to Him having all authority, anything He wants to do. And then He gives away authority. Not all of it, but certain situations, things to people. He gives away authority. We've got to understand that He is Lord of all. And then He turns around. That's why I've got to be, first of all, submission is a good place. Wives, being submitted to your husband. I know that's not popular and I didn't want to say it. Lord, I don't want to say it. No, being submitted to your husband is a safe place. Understanding, He gives authority away. Did not God look at Adam and say, I give you dominion. I'm going to let you handle this. Did not, I love this one. I had to use this one. Did not Jesus rebuke Pilate? When Pilate, in John 19, I love this scripture. It lets us understand. Then Pilate said to him, are you not speaking to me? Dude. Now by this time, Jesus had already been beaten and spit on and hollered and drugged. He was a bloody mess by this time. And Jesus just stopped talking. Pilate asked him, are you the King of the Jews? He says, I am. And that's the last thing he said. And Pilate starts talking to him again. Jesus, Bible says Jesus don't say nothing. And he says, man, are you not talking to me? What's up? And he says, don't you know? Look at Pilate. And this is us. We're so arrogant, we think we're the master and commander of our destiny. We have no idea we're pawns to the spirit world. I get to choose who runs my life, which spirit. Don't you know I have the power to crucify you or to power to release you? And then Jesus couldn't take this. He just couldn't take it. I mean, he was bruised up. He had to have been smiling at the stupidity of Pilate. He raised up and said, dude. I'm sure he said, dude, you have no power. I mean, he didn't say you have no power. You have no power at all against me. You ain't got nothing on me. You ain't my daddy. You ain't got nothing on me had it not been given to you from above. Only power you got is what my dad gave to you, and I'm okay with that. One of the, I believe that the major problem in America is the breakdown of the family. And I think one of the major problems is that parents have abdicated authority to their children. Children were never meant to be the spiritual authority in a home. They were never meant to run the, you know, as the old saying goes, there's problems because the inmates are running the prison. And see, that's why some of you are more concerned about being your kid's friend than you are their spiritual authority. And thus, everything's out of whack. Satan runs free. Because, once again, he cannot go where he does not have permission. He gives it away. The centurion recognizes authority on Jesus. How did he see it? He recognized it because he was a submitted man. And then he possessed authority also. When you are submitted, you recognize. I love submitting. When I go to somebody else's church, I mean, I'm telling you, it is so spiritual. I've had people, because we have two services, I'll tell them, I want you to preach the same thing over both times because I want our church to hear the whole thing. I've had people come in, preach, and then just say, you know, I feel led by the Spirit. I'm supposed to preach something else, and it's horrible. Every time they do that, it's horrible. Why? They stepped out under authority. I'm the authority in this place. And when I ask you to preach the same thing, you should say, yes, sir. When I go to other places, what do you want me to do? Do you want me to preach? Do you want me to prophesy? What? I'll do whatever. You know, if they tell me to do something unethical or immoral, of course, yes. Stop going to the bottom line. Of course, I'm thinking deeper than that.
You got to understand.
There's a hierarchy that the Holy Spirit and the demon will. Gone.
They are free.
Submission to authority is a good thing. I don't submit. I am ultimately submitted to God. And when there's contrary, I'm going to be submitted to God. God wants me to submit. Every time I say this, and this is going to be your assignment because I want to twist the knife a little bit. Every time I say, we should be praying. I didn't say that. It said, pray for those in authority over you. And pray like some of you. God, I just pray he drops dead. I ain't talking about that either. It says pray for their good, their blessing, that it may go well with you. I wonder if we have the kind of president or the kind of Congress that the church deserves. Because all we're doing is complaining, griping instead of praying. So that's your assignment this week. I want you to pray for your leaders. Pray for their good. Pray they'll have an encounter with Jesus Christ. Because that's being submitted to authority. How does this authority work? One of the main ways he said it in this story. speak the word. He said, Jesus, just speak the word. Someone who has authority, when they speak, things happen. I love this. I love the way some of you are looking at me. I'm not sure if I like this or not. Look at this. And so was this is Jesus. Jesus had ended his saying. He was just teaching. And look, then the people were astonished at his teaching. Verse 29. For he taught them as one having authority, not like the rest of the preachers. Scribes, the rest of the guys that taught. He taught one as one who had authority. When you speak, everybody listen to me, all of you have authority somewhere. Some have more than others, but all of us have authority. He said, speak the word. Speak the word. Someone who has authority, when he speaks, things happen. When you speak where you have authority, things happen. Let me give you an example just to stir you up a little bit because we got a lot of transplants. Anybody ever noticed? If you hadn't, you probably need to be saved. Anybody ever notice there's a spirit over New Orleans? I don't go down there because I feel like I need to take a bath spiritually. There's a spirit. Everybody look at me. Normal, conservative people go down there and they lose their minds. I mean, you got normal church-going women go down there in Mardi Gras, all of a sudden lifting up their shirts for a pair of 2-cent beads. Drunk, revelry, all that stuff. It just gets on you. I remember the last time I was down there, I used to take friends down there, and I can't take them no more because it's just, you know, if you got any prophetic gifting at all, it's just like glass in my spirit. But I remember the last time, I don't even drink wine. I'm sitting there eating a thing, and I'm going, man, I want some wine. I don't even know why. I hate wine. It's all. I tasted it. It tastes like grapes that have gone bad, been in the refrigerator too long. That's what it tastes like to me. But all of a sudden, you just start having these thoughts like, I want this. I want. Why is that? If what I'm saying is true. Because the authority given by God every year holds up his or her glass and says, Hail Rex, King of Carnival, the city is yours. The city is yours. Now, if you think that's a joke and that's a coincidence, then you really are blinded to the spirit world. Do you understand you have authority over your business, over your body, over your home, over your city? Look, I don't have no authority. Our governor can't go to Florida and start telling them what to do. But he can't in Mississippi. Why? Because he's got authority. It's his jurisdiction. It operates that way. You have authority if you are a Christian. If you're a non-Christian, you have not been saved. You have no authority. You're under the authority of Satan. He can pull your string anytime he wants to. But for the Christian, he has no authority over me. Right? Unless I speak, unless I give him, I was watching all, you know, I don't correct other people's children unless it just becomes so aggravating that I can't take it no more. You know, I don't like, why would you want to have kids if you're going to let them holler at you? I remember I was in Little League football, and this dad volunteered to help me. And his kid was, shut up. Yeah. Man. After about the second practice, I came home and I'm trembling. And Amy's trying to just calm down. But he lit in the next practice. I walked over to him. I snatched him up by his face mask and brought him up to my face. And his dad's standing right there. I said, boy, if you holler at your daddy again, I'm going to get my belt and I'm going to wear your butt out until you scream for mercy. Do you understand me? And I'm shaking his head like this. No, his dad just stand there. Didn't say nothing. Guys, I don't understand. Listen, moms, listen. The spiritual authority in your home is not your kids. And when you give them authority, you're short-circuiting. That's where Satan comes in, because they shouldn't be in authority. Over your body, the thoughts in your mind. The Bible says, take your thoughts captive. Rule over your thought life. I just can't help it. Yes, 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 you can. You've just been lied to. When you say, I can't help it, you're giving the devil authority. Over your body, over your home. This is my home. Me and Amy have decided we're going to have peace in our home. I don't care how many kids she has. Because we understand authority. God has given. I am the authority. Nobody has more authority in my house than I do. Spiritual. I'm glad you like that. Do you understand? That's why, you know, and if I don't have peace in my home, we'll start throwing down. Oh, agitating spirit and all that. No. Because I have a right. I know I am a man under authority. And I'm not going to let that in the place I have authority. Do you understand that? Look at me. I wonder what our city would be like if the Christians, who are the light of the world, would speak the word of health. Instead of complaining. This is our city. These are our people. These are our friends, our family. This is our city. What would it be like? See, that's how I know we do not understand authority and spiritual authority. When you speak the word, you give permission to something. Amen. A friend of mine was part of a church back in those late 80s. And it was a very conservative, traditional church. And, you know, I'm not ever going to argue theology. But can I tell you, everybody look at me now. Ignorance is not going to keep you safe. He stood up in his pulpit. See, I recognize, I didn't ask for this position. I recognize I'm the authority in this house. Okay? And if that bothers you and you can't submit to me, first of all, I know that there have been bad pastors that try to lord over everybody. And, man, I'm too tired for all that. Do your own thing. I ain't trying to control you. There's a difference between authority and a controlling spirit. All right? I ain't trying to control your life. I don't want to control your life. But I recognize that what I let through here is going to affect you. This man stood up in his pulpit. This back in the late 80s. And if you don't believe me, I don't care. Just be destroyed. He said, I would rather have our teenagers sleep around than speak in tongues. Said that from his pulpit Sunday morning. Can I tell you, that church is no longer in existence because in the next 2 years, about 85 to 90% of their youth had either gotten somebody pregnant or were pregnant themselves. I had a friend that was there. Of course, he didn't stay after he said that. I'll tell you, you better get out of there. You got kids, man. Get out of there. Do you understand? Listen to me. Why in the world would we speak things over our children? Why would you say things? You're going to be just like, you can't do it. Why would we say those things? We have never once called our children bad. We've never said, you're a bad kid. And I hear parents say that all, I mean, even in joking, man, my kids are bad. They bad. Why are they bad? Because you letting them be bad. You're the authority. We've never called a bad. And I have on some occasions said, you made a bad choice. And daddy's belt's going to help you remember not to make that choice anymore. But you're a good kid. You just strayed in your thinking. Amen? But what I want you to understand is, this centurion said, people under authority, just speak the word. What are you speaking over your business? What are you speaking over your life? I know a man. I mean, I can tell you 1,000 stories. All my life, I grew up with him. All my life, he said, well, granddad died at 51. My dad died at 50. I'm 42. I guess I got about 8-10 more years. He said that all the time. Can I tell you, he died at 52. Just drop dead and you go, oh, well, that's just family genes. No, that's spiritual authority being used in a negative way. Please understand this. Not just for your family, but look, there's coming a day, and I'm afraid it's going to be sooner than we realize, where the church is going to have to stand up in the spirit world and look the big demons in the face and go, you cannot pass. And we can't do it just because you feel good or you went to church or all that. You've got to understand no authority. Just quit letting your thought life. No, Satan, you can't have my thoughts. This is my life, my brain. It'll affect you. See, when you understand, I just want to end with this. It'll affect your prayer life. Most people pray, begging God, trying to say right words. Is this the right? We read the books, how to do this, how to do that, all this stuff. When God said, Jesus said, pray in my name. Pray in my name. There's even unsaved people that are in hell because they said, did we not cast out demons in your name? Yeah, but that was just the power of my name. I never knew you. When Satan, well, first of all, if you got kids, y'all have done this. Every parent's done this. Go out there and tell your brother, I want him to come in and clean up his room. And he goes out there and tells him, and you know how that usually works out. I told him, Daddy, but he didn't. Said some, get away from me, stupid. But then you do this. Go out there and tell him, Daddy said, you better get your butt in and clean up your room. Well, now, what have I done? I put the stamp of authority on that message. Is that making sense? Everybody look at me. Did not Jesus, when Satan tempted him, did not Jesus say, it is written? Well, who wrote all that? In other words, he was saying, Satan, I mean, don't you think that was easy for you? You go without eating for 40 days and start talking about bread and see what happens. Go without 40 days without bread. Somebody mentions bread, you're going to start, your mouth's going to water. You go, bread. And he said, it is written. Satan, Daddy said. And look, what did Satan say? He took him and showed him all the kingdoms of the world. The power, all, look at me, please hear this. The power over all these kingdoms has been delivered to me, is what Satan said. Who gave it to him? We did. It's been delivered to me. I'll give it to you if you worship Satan. Daddy said. That's why Jesus said, when you pray, won't you use my name? Jesus, in Jesus' name. I ain't just praying. I'm praying in Jesus' name. Daddy said. Satan, Daddy said. I had a friend that had I'm convinced that most of us don't believe in the spirit world. I'm convinced. And most spirit-filled, charismatic Christians, we believe in a little prophecy of them, but demons and all. Friend of mine was pastoring a church like this, and they were having a prayer time, and this lady started manifesting. She was demonized. Fell out on the floor, started, you know. If you ever been around a demon, look, next time I have a demonic manifestation, I'll call you. Change your life. I've seen people slither on the floor like snakes, and little petite girls talking deep. I mean, it's just, you don't have to go scary movies. Anyway, so a group of people start gathering around her. Name of Jesus, cast out. You know, if you can't be anointed, be loud. They start just hollering down. And the demon, he said he was looking at the lady. She, instead, this guy that he had never seen before or seen since just walked up to the group. She was on the floor. They all speaking in tongues real loud. La, la, like, you know, you got to scream. I know I'm being bad. I'm sorry. He was, excuse me. And he said, he as the pastor got concerned. He had never seen this guy before. He said, I was fixing to step in and go, whoa, dude. Because you don't let people pray over your people that you don't know. You're not supposed to anyway. This guy steps in and he leaned down at the lady like that and said, this is his quote, Satan, it's me again. Be gone in the name of Jesus. Said the lady flopped like a fish out of water a couple of times and it was gone. And the guy went back and sat down. And everybody was stunned. Listen, when we start understanding our authority, it starts with understanding His authority. We start understanding our authority. You're not going to be afraid of somebody that doesn't have it. Now, here's my question to you. I want to end with this. Everybody look at me, because this is, I can't tell you, man, I have battled. It has been a physical and spiritual battle to get here today. I didn't want to preach this because I know it stirs up all kinds of questions that I don't have 10 years to answer. But I want you to understand the Christian church has got to wake up and realize we have been given a little bit of authority. We do not have to be afraid. That's why he said, oh death, where is your sting? I'm not even afraid of death because the authority that Jesus has over death. Here's my question. You ready? And we're going to pray in just a second. First of all, if you don't know Christ, man, come talk to me afterwards. Come talk to one of the staff. You need to be saved. But some of you have been saved so long. And you're so weak mentally that Satan can just put any thought in your mind and you run with it. He can just do anything and you run with it. You cradle. Instead of standing up and going, you shall not pass. Daddy said. But see, you got to believe that and understand it. Understand it and believe it and live it. Are you submitted? It's my first question. Are you submitted? You know, there's people around here say, I don't need a church. I mean, Are you submitted somewhere? I am. Are you submitted to somebody? I am. Are you submitted to the Lord? Or are you saying, look, I want you to take me to heaven, but I'm going to live life like I want to right here, right now? That's not submission. See, when you're under authority, you have authority. Now, my second question to you is, what are you giving permission to in your life? What are you letting hang around in your house? What permission are you giving to? What are you releasing from your mouth? I can't do that. I'm not going to make it. Nobody loves. You realize when you confess, nobody cares for me? When you say those words, that baby don't bother me. That's like being a now I got 11 grandkids. and only four producing. What in the world? What is going to happen? Look at me. What are you releasing over yourself and your home? Are you releasing God's blessing? I'm not one of those. You know I am not one of those hyper-charismatics that say, I'm blessed and highly favored even when I'm sick. And don't say you're sick and all that. Even though you got snot running out. Well, yeah. Okay, yeah, I'm sick. I got snot. But God is my healer. God's going to take care of me. What are you releasing over your children? I'm going to just step in. I know. Can I say this? And this is my heart. Please hear my heart. It's almost like parents want something to be wrong with their children so they can just make an excuse for bad behavior. I know there are some children that have, you know, autism and ADHD, whatever, AD. I'm not good with that. You know what I'm saying? All these different ADHD. Yeah, that's it. I understand some of them's got it, but do you realize I'm the authority there, not that ADHD. I can rein some of that in. Now, I'm not against doctors and all that, but I'm saying you stand in the authority and ask God what to do. He'll either tell you how to cure it yourself, or he'll lead you to a doctor that'll help you. But don't just abdicate your authority. Does that make sense? You don't abdicate your authority over your body to a doctor. I know some people say that are terrified of certain things because a doctor told them, well, you know, you got chances of this, this, and this. And they're like, I better. And so they eat right out of fear instead of just eating right. Does that make sense? You invite fear. What are you releasing on yourself? What are we releasing on our community? On your business? What word are you speaking in the authority that you have? See, I ain't got no authority over Washington. God ain't told me, he ain't put me in Washington. I ain't going to President Biden and Congress and all them telling them, thus saith the Lord, because I ain't got no authority. But there are places that we do have authority. What are you releasing on yourself?